Now, you mentioned the Washington and Lee girls. Co-education mm-hmm. is a relatively new thing here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction at Sweetbriar when it was decided that there would be W&L girls?
You mean from the administration at Sweetbriar?
Anybody.
Well, I would certainly not be telling the truth if we, and I speak, I think, collectively for the Virginia colleges and other colleges, I mean other women's colleges, we knew it was going to affect us. And since Washington and Lee, I'll just take that as an example, restricts its student body to, what is it, 2/3 men and 1/3 women. Now, maybe it's not, but it isn't 50-50. It means the competition for girls to get in Washington and Lee is very difficult. And with the women's movement and so forth, a great many women that we would like to have at the women's colleges prefer the co-education. And for a while, the applications at the women's college, and if anybody tells you that this isn't true, they're not telling you the truth. It is true that the applications were less. I can't speak for other colleges, but even though I'm no longer employed by Sweetbriar, I live there. I am in close contact with it, living in Lynchburg, and they're awfully nice to me. None of the colleges failed, well, had the same size student body for a while that they did. Of course, that was bad. There's a gradual, I was talking to the Lewises at lunch today, there's a gradual upturn of that. There are more women now that are turning back to women's colleges. But, and Sweetbriar never lowered its academic standings to fill its beds, which I think was wise. Some of the students that come to Sweetbriar, Roundup, Macon, and so forth now have probably applied to Washington Lee and been turned down, but that doesn't mean they are very good students, because this is one of the most of men's private colleges. I'm not talking about Harvard, but you know, or that. It's very difficult. I mean, the competition for places at Washington Lee is very great now. It is. And I'm sure we were sorry that they did it. But not sorry from the woman's point of view, because I really am a feminist, and so I was delighted that if a girl wants to come to a first-rate institution, a co-education, a small liberal arts, rather than having to go to a university. From the point of view of the women's colleges, I was sorry. So it's a dichotomy in my, mm-hmm. The way I feel about it.
Were you?
My granddaughter.
Go ahead.
Well, I had a granddaughter that did not choose a women's college. And I took her around to see the various colleges. And it was the first year, actually, that Washington Lee went to it. And I did not encourage her to apply here. I wasn't sure that she was a good enough student to get in. And I didn't want to. And also, I didn't know what it would be like on the campus the first year. And so I was happy when she chose Davidson, which is a, do you know Davidson?
No, not really.
It's excellent. It's very much like Washington and Lee. It's known, it's about the size of Washington and Lee. It's in just out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And it became co-ed about 10 years before, or 7 years before Washington and Lee. And that's where my granddaughter went and had a very happy time, a good time. I mean, good educational experience. I was afraid that she would be, that girls would be so interested in the boys there that they would not make the same kind of personal, same kind of friendships that you make in a women's college. But I was wrong. My granddaughter has just as strong friends. In fact, she was married the first day of June, and she, 15 of her closest friends from Davidson were there, and they've been out 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a fine thing that women are not discriminated in that way any longer. But I also think they ought to be. I'm sorry that there are only two liberal arts colleges that I know of for men that don't take women. Because I think men ought to have the opportunity if they want to go. And we won't go into this VMI thing. That's an entirely different.
We could spend all day
on that. That's an entirely different proposition.
Were you at Sweetbriar when the Washington and Lee decision came down?
You mean, was I still working there?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I just wondered what the mood was on campus when it happened.
You know, I don't think it affected the girls mm-hmm. very much. I think the administration had I don't think that it was earth-shaking to them.
It's probably a much bigger deal here than it was there.
Yes, I think so. It wasn't going to change the life at Sweetbriar. Mm-hmm. And get somebody that is more in touch with it, you know, that there. Girls, the Washington and Lee boys and the University of Virginia boys and so forth still date the girls at the colleges very much. I don't think it's affected the girls' social life on the campuses. They seem to like, the boys seem to get away, and the girls over there still come here. I don't really think it's affected, but somebody could speak more about that.
I had never heard the term road schools until I came here.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? What's the women's schools impression of the term road school?
Do you think it means that on weekends all the girls come here and all the
I think that's what they're saying.
And all the boys go someplace else?
Yeah, but I'm wondering, it's a term that's thrown around here all the time. I wondered if from the other side there's any feeling of that it's any kind of a put down or an insult or anything. I mean, it's an odd term. I've never heard the term road school.
You know, I've never heard it called that. What have I heard it called? Meaning that there's an exodus. Because we have left and said, where do they all go? They've got to go somewhere.
I've heard that some of the girls' schools are called suitcase schools.
I've heard that too.
But is that true? Do all the girls disappear on weekends?
No, they can't all disappear. There's no place for them to go. In fact, I don't think, and after all, they're there to get an education. A lot of them do, of course. But there's a lot going on the women's campuses on weekends. I get the calendar every week, and then I'm out there a fair amount. Maybe I'm prejudiced, but there certainly is a difference in the social life. There's no question about that. All of them have cars now, you see. I don't know. I'm just amazed. Parking is the biggest problem on many campuses. Not on Sweetbriar's campus, because we're having 3,500 acres. And where the cars park, they're not everywhere. They're parked.
Well, it's a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's kind of go back to the beginning as we end up here. You mentioned that when you first came here from Alabama, that one of your friends went to Randolph-Macon and one of them went to Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you maintain those friendships? And did,
did
the various women's colleges interact?
Oh, yes. Oh, we had friends, and you so often met on weekends. I remember one time that at a fraternity party, somebody looked around and said to me, and asked me where my two friends in particular, where are they, aren't they over here this weekend? You know, it just, oh yeah, you kept up, friends. But I guess that was more if you knew girls from home were in the same, you know, in the same area. It just happened that three of my closest friends from Florence were, and then you knew girls from other towns that were in the college, and you saw them. Yes, you kept up with it.
Do you think that there's a difference between a Mary Baldwin girl and a Sweetbriar girl, and a Randolph-Macon girl, and a Hollins girl, a Southern Sem girl? How would you characterize?
That's not a fair question to ask me. Are you talking about today or used to be?
Used to be.
The Randolph-Macon girls were much more restricted than we were. They laughed at the Sweetbriar girls because they said they could always tell us because, well, when we came to town, we always had your hat and white gloves, which was true. I think academically, and they realize I'm speaking from a person, that Randolph-Macon and Sweetbriar have been on the same academic level. It was as difficult to get in one as it was another often. Hollins looks more like Sweetbriar, seems more like Sweetbriar. Hollins was a privately owned institution for a long time. And academically, it wasn't as good as the other two. I dare say it is now, and has been for quite some time. I know less about Mary Baldwin than I do the other three. I know they are having a right hard time with the, that's a silly expression. I know that they had not as many applicants as the other colleges had, and I think their endowment is not as much as the others. But I think they're all four fine institutions. I would think a girl in many ways, it would depend on whether she wanted to be in the country and loved the outer partly. I like them all so well, it's hard for me to see, but of course I really, I'll tell you, the president, I lived next door to the president when I was at Sweetbriar. I lived in a college house and it happened to be there. And once somebody asked her how she would, the same question you asked, and she said, there's no competition between lighthouses. Now think of that. And if you like the town, then Randolph-Macon would be for you. If you love the country, that does, and I think I would choose Hollins or Sweetbriar. And do you know what so much depends upon, and I found this out with my daughters, where Gelch is from similar colleges, the admissions interview and the girl that takes you around. I mean, the guy that takes you around. I could not imagine how much that had. I saw that with my children and with my grandchildren. I brought one grandson here to see Washington that I hoped very much would come, and he led his class in the Eastern Prep School for 4 years and played three on the varsity team of three sports. And he wanted to come south because of my daughter that was at Davidson, and this boy had been best friends always, and she was ahead of him. And we came to Washington, and the interview was not good. It was during his spring vacation, during Christopher's spring vacation, and that's when they're busy, of course, here, as I understand, and they don't give any personal interviews, and you have a group interview, and you have a group tour. And though we got a little special attention because of my relationship with Washington Lee, it was not good. And the boy that took us around did not, he was, just wasn't. I wasn't a good guide, and I've seen so many of them that are good. And we went to Davidson, and it was just the opposite. And Christopher chose Davidson, and he could. Now, I don't know about some of my other grandchildren, but this one could have gone to most any. Mm-hmm. He was accepted at a good many Eastern schools as well as this. So
it makes a difference.
It makes a big difference.
All right, one last question. On the Sunday afternoons, when the Washington and Lee students would come over,
yeah,
what would you do?
Oh,
where at Sweetbriar would you date, and what would you do?
Well, you could go down to the lake. You could even wander in the boxwoods if you happened to be in love with somebody at that time. The inn was open. You could drink Cokes. You could, ride around. If you were both athletic, you could play tennis. As I said, the boxwoods were very secluded. actually, sometimes you played bridge. What do young people do now?
Now, where would you play bridge?
There are rooms. There are recreation rooms all over.
I've heard the expression dating parlors.
Oh, goodness, yes. There used to be, if you had a date even during the week, you would sit and talk. You would sit and talk. And maybe four couples would sit and talk. And I don't think anybody read poetry to each other, but they might have. We knew a lot of poetry. I don't think that doesn't seem as... What did they do now in fraternity houses?
Oh, you don't want to know.
I do know. but I'm not so sure some of the behavior now. You see, I'm not... More than many of my contemporaries, I am not terribly opposed to young people living together before they get married. I don't want them to be promiscuous about it, but I'm not so sure that it isn't a good, that it's, well, I sound stuffy in one way and promiscuous on the other. I mean, permissive, on the other. But when You graduated from college at the time. What did girls do? Most of them wanted to be married. We didn't have careers. Most girls didn't have careers unless you were going on to graduate school or got a teacher's certificate. It wasn't the thing to do to have a career. Look, I'm sure I'm right about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we even had what was called the ring game at Sweetbriar. And as soon as a girl got engaged to the president of the senior class, and this went on until 20 years ago, all the seniors would gather around in a ring with a string going around. And they would pass the ring all around, and they would try to guess who it belonged to, you see. And finally, it would stop on the person, and then we'd celebrate her engagement. Did I make that clear, what you
were
doing?
No, tell me. I've never heard of this.
Well, I don't think many colleges had it.
Describe it.
Well, I would go out, and but usually at lunch in the refectory. You'd say, the ring game is going to be played.
But nobody knew who was engaged.
Well, you weren't supposed to, and a lot of the times you didn't. But you would know who had been dating and so forth. But a lot, I guess, would depend on whether the young man had a job or a career. And then a cord would be, everybody would hold on to that cord, you see, and the ring would be put on it. And it would pass around as it went past you see. Each person just passed a whole ring of people. And it would go around twice, and then the third time it would stop at the girl to whom it belonged. And she would, so it was nice. And I would say that a lot of girls were engaged when thing. And so, and then, just look at the rate of divorces now. Look at, and I'm not so sure that this thing of knowing that you were marrying because that was really not just because it was the thing to do, or you felt, or whether you really were in love.
So, a lot of girls were already engaged by the time they graduated.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And were there a lot of Sweetbriar, Washington, and Lee marriages?
Oh, yeah, there were a lot. Mm-hmm. I was not in. I knew I wanted to marry and spent that time, but we were not married for a year and a half. It was depression time, and you had to think carefully. But I did not honestly know any girls that were, I don't think any, certainly it was not acceptable if anybody had set up housekeeping with the opposite sex at that time.
Now, you know, you said that back at the beginning and I didn't pick up on that at all. What influence do you think the Depression had on the time period we're talking about? Were there things that happened because of the Depression that wouldn't have happened at other times?
Oh, so many people who couldn't, quote, go off to school, who had to go. For instance, in Florence, where I grew up, there is, it was the state teacher's college at that time. And most of the girls in Florence who wanted higher education, you know, and most that friends of mine did want, could not afford. Their parents could not afford to send them away to school. And more went to, of the young men, went to the state universities, then would come to Washington Lee.
Well, once you got to Sweetbriar, though,
yeah.
Were there things that were happening there that you could sense that it was depression time?
Of course, we read about it, and I remember when the banks closed. But we didn't run home every, you went home, if you lived close enough at Thanksgiving and Christmas, you see, Sweetbriar and Washington Lee, young people didn't suffer from the depression. That's not true either. The class that I entered with at Sweetbriar was the largest at that time. The size it is, the entering class is now, actually. And after my sophomore year, when the depression was really being felt, about a third of my class could not come back because their parents could not. So, and strangely enough, there were more from the East that could not come back. And Sweetbriar's never been as much a Southern school. It's always drawn rather heavily from the Northeast next to the South. Could not come back because so many of their parents had been really wealthy. I said we were always so poor in the South that we didn't know the difference. But that was the way that we felt it the most, with the ones who could not come and would have to stay and go closer home or go to the institution in their, mm-hmm. their town. But as far as not doing the same things that we were doing.
Everybody still wore white gloves.
Still wore white gloves. And but certainly times changed. I never expected to have a career. And and my first career was in investment banking. And people change, you know. It's very fortunate. And I think perhaps that's what a Washington Lee education, or what a Sweetbriar or any good does, gives you the ability. Not, I hope it does, not to say that things will, or to deplore changes, because I think I remember when I was in the alumni office at Sweetbriar, and people would say to me, particularly my job, goodness, the colleges. And they'd see the girls walking along and not looking, not having on white gloves. Not that they ever wore them on occasion, but not. Talk about the laxity of the rules and all of that, and they would say, Sweetbriar's not the way it was in my day. And I'd say, oh, in your day. And I'd say, no, it's not. And I thank God that it isn't, and I say it reverently, because if it were, it wouldn't be in existence today. And so I have fond memories of the way that Washington Lee used to be and Sweetbriar used to be, but I like the way it is now, and I think there's more, I don't think there's more emphasis on academic work, really. I think the opportunities that the young people have now of travel and all the computer, internet, all of that, uh-huh. A wonderful farm. I'm delighted that they are this. But I do wish they paid more attention to their appearance.
Me too. Me too. Well, thank you so much.
Just look at these young people here that are the helping the student assistants for these programs. Uh-huh. You couldn't find a nicer, of course they are handpicked, I admit, nicer group of young people. But I think that I think most of them are very, if they say they're very serious about their education too, and I hope they appreciate it the way we did.
They'll appreciate it more after they're gone.
That's it.
Is there anything more you'd like to say? I'm just delighted with our interview.
Oh, I feel like a fool.
Well, I don't know why.
Because I talk too much. How did you happen in the world to get my name? Because there's so many women here whose husbands have been. My husband was never a very active alumnus. He loved it, and we came back a lot, but he was not, like the person that his roommate and through college, and his best friend and his widow, and I have been friends for 50 years with all the things that we've gone on, all these trips together. And George, her husband, who was not active when they were in college, like my husband was a very active alumnus and very worthwhile, was even awarded an honorary degree.
Uh-huh.
He's a doctor.
Uh-huh.
So I can just think of so many of these women that are at this.
Well, we'll talk about them. You can recommend somebody. But Rob Fury recommended you.
Oh, he did. Well, Rob,
I'm going to stop now.
Yeah.